are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, welcome to Informative Conversations Podcast. My guest today is Ms. Maria Mosher. Maria is from Ecuador. She runs an outreach for Hispanics, supplying food and sharing the gospel. Most of you have heard of Maria from the Kroger supermarket stabbing that took place in 2019. I have asked Maria to join me to share her testimony. Hello, Maria.
Hey, Jacqueline. It's a joy to have this conversation and to share with many listeners this morning what the Lord has been doing in my life. And I just thank the Lord for this opportunity. I'm so happy to finally find you again. And with gratitude in my heart, the day that I met you and you prayed for my daughter when she was having trouble with school and told me the scripture that I need to pray for her. It was life-changing. And with gratitude in my heart, I just thank the Lord for this time together and having really speaking about what's happening in my life right now. Thank you, Jacqueline.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for being a guest. And thank you for accepting my invitation.
Thank you for the opportunity to share my testimony, Jacqueline.
Sure. Maria, before we get into your story, I want you to tell my listeners a little about yourself.
Yes, thank you, Jacqueline. I just wanted to tell you that I'm an Ecuadorian living in the U.S., because God gave me the grace to marry an American citizen that came to practice pharmacy and as a medical helper in the free clinics in Ecuador. So that's where the way that I met him, and that's the reason that I'm here in the U.S.
So when you were in Ecuador, you went to the tent meeting with the Assemblies of God who were praying for the sick. I think your brother took you there, and you were only 13 years old. Did you receive Christ at that time because you were following the rest of your family as they received Christ, or was there something preached that made you have a change of heart?
Jacqueline, I can answer with joy in my heart this morning, because what happened is that my brother received an invitation to go to this big tent that they were praying for the sick and bringing worship. That was a beautiful worship in Spanish. And he went the first day, received the Lord, and he invited us, my parents and I, we went. And we just received the invitation to receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And that our story started from there. We following the Lord because we love worship. Worship is a powerful tool. Mm-hmm. And we love to be every single night if we can to just worship with the community there and listen the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing many heal and many restore. So that was my life when I grew up in Ecuador.
So you grew up in Ecuador as a Catholic. So what was it, the healing? What was it about the message that changed the life of you and your entire family in one message?
The message was that my brother needed healing in his body. And they offered that because through the Lord Jesus Christ, he already purchased the healing in the cross. So he was excited to go. He went the first time that it was the tent open. And we were together. After the 3 days, we went and we just joined him, because the excitement of worship that as a little one, as a young kid, remember the worship bringing impact in my life. The worship was magnificent, and we grew up in that. I thank the Lord that we're able to know Him, because even in the in a situation of my brother that he needed healing, the ministry prayed for healing over his body. He was healed.
Wow!
And we're impacted by the power of God, and we just receive the grace to just keep going, keep believing that God is able to help us.
Amen. So your government paid for you to become a dentist. And you met your husband who was a missionary dentist in your country.
Yes. And
you had served for 7 years. Did your husband serve for 7 years also?
Yeah, I served my community as after I graduated from a school of dental. And my husband served for 4 years in building and strengthening the clinic and having more access for services. We have nurses and doctors and the pharmacy that we built up, and they still is going. The clinic is in downtown Quito, Ecuador, and is still serving the community in that place right now.
Okay. So you and your husband, you stayed in Ecuador for a while after you were married. And then you, your husband, you had two small children and one on the way. You left Ecuador and came to the United States. Talk about the challenges of leaving everything behind as a foreign citizen.
Jackie, that was the hardest thing that I ever experienced in my entire life. You know, living your own identity, I mean, in the culture that I live, it's family-oriented, always sharing with the family everything that we got, and sharing with my community, speaking the language together, understanding what we're saying, and coming to a nation that you don't know the language and you don't know how to interact with people. That was the hardest thing that I experienced. And I thank the Lord that as I knew that I can come into the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I need you. I was thinking that I knew Him when I live in Ecuador, but really, I find my relationship, my deepest relationship, when I came to the U.S. and start praying, because I said, Lord, I don't have friends. I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know the language. I don't know this culture. This culture is so different, so independent. And that was something that it was a big challenge in my life. But by the grace of God, the community of believers and friends helped me to just keep going. The church is a part of my life that I treasure, and pastors and ministries and ministers and small groups help us to just trust in the Lord and know that He didn't leave us even when we leave our own culture, our own nations. He still is with us wherever we are. And that's the beautiful thing about God, that we can find Him anywhere we're moving. He is there.
Right. And so you talk about in your testimony about how you would tell God, I don't want to be here. I want to go home. I miss home. And then He opened those doors for, like you said, for you to meet people in church and for them to help you. But you weren't even able to use your profession to help with the family finances, especially with three small children. And that was difficult too.
Yes, talk about Jacqueline. That a little bit. Yeah, Jacqueline, that's the hardest thing for a foreign person that comes to this nation. We need extra grace when we come to another nation. We need extra. That's why I understand when the Latinos come for work, and that's what the Lord is giving me back. I mean, the love for the Latino community. Because, you know, as immigrants, they're looking for opportunities to make a living. And that was the hardest thing that I experienced, because, you know, I have my degree and I couldn't practice because I have my three little ones. And to renew the license where you need to go back to school. So that was kind of really hard for me. So I decided to just help my children, humble before the Lord every day, and just asking for help in any way that we can. As my husband was a student and working part-time, and it was a limited access for the basic needs that we needed, but the Lord showed himself mighty, and we grew up in South Carolina most of the time here in the U.S.
So what would you advise someone leaving their country, coming to the U.S. to do to help them avoid some of the struggles that you experienced?
One thing that I will tell them is, if you connected with a church that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is everything for us. And we just coming in fellowship with another believer. I remember they pray for me because I was crying all the time. They pray for me. Sometimes they share their food, their time. I remember a friend that still is my beautiful friend, that she lives in Pennsylvania. I remember her so well. She came and she shared the gospel of the Lord, the power of the cross. She told me every Thursday the same thing, what Jesus did for my life. And I thank the Lord that the Lord provide for us friends and just people that wanted to help others. And just I tell you, Jacqueline, that was the hearing of my prayers. The Lord sent my friend Cindy to come and love on me and just pray for me, because the crying was just not stopping. I miss my home. I didn't want to be here. And that was the hardest thing that I experienced as a individual. But the Lord was, I became more believer in the Lord because I can feel his love, his compassion, his kindness, his goodness. And I'm still here now. The Lord set me free from this crying that I was crying. That's why I'm so loving the Spanish community, because they suffer the same thing. They are they have their own situations they don't share with anybody because they don't know the language. And they don't know the language. The people are just busy doing their own stuff. And that's why I love Outreach, Jacquelina, because we need to tell the people that Jesus can help them, that we are there for them, that we can hear their needs and pray for them. And the hope that we have in the Lord is for everybody. So amen. I love my young community in the U.S., Jacqueline.
Amen. That's good. So God used your sorrows, your pain, your suffering to go and help an entire community.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
So now let's switch gears a little bit. So you've been employed with Kroger for 19 years. Before the incident of November the 17th in 2019, it was all over the news for several days. And I want you to start from the morning when you entered your job and tell my listeners about what happened on that day.
Yes, I was thankful when I moved to Georgia that my kids went to school and I was able to work part-time. That was a joy in my heart to work as a bagger first. And then I became a cashier, customer service, and youth camp person. And that was my life. And I made so many friends. The community came and I shared their needs, their struggles, and I was able to pray for them. And that was my joy. That was my platform there in the workplace. And I pray for many. They rejoice with me when they have something. I rejoice with them when they have something to share. And that was my life. So helping my people, helping my family with that job, it was a great blessing. And I remember, you know, every day, get up, getting ready for work that morning. I remember it was a Sunday morning I went. You know, as a believer, we always pray that the Lord will be with us. And I remember that it was a regular day. I always went early in the morning, not thinking that anything was planned from the enemy for my life. So I went to drop my lunch bag in my room where we put our stuff for a lunch room. And I didn't know that this person was in the corner with an evil thought to just eliminate me that day, that morning. And I remember opening my locker. This person hit me in the front of my face. he was empowered by evil. That's why I wanted to share this this morning with you, Jacqueline, and the listeners this morning, that, you know, the Bible says that it's in Luke 10:10, it says that the enemy came to kill and destroy, but God came to give us life and more life abundant. So I experienced evil that morning. He was so energy. He was empowered. You know, when the evil is empowering somebody, it have extra energy. He was not afraid to cut my neck. And I was pushing him away to defend myself, but that thing didn't help. He grabbed a chair. He kicked me. He broke all my ribs, stabbed me in my stomach, in my leg. I was just dealing with this thing. I said, what is happening to me? My daughter asked me when this happened earlier in that week, say, Mom, couldn't you scream or anything? I said, I didn't have time for anything. The attack was right there. I couldn't go anywhere. I just say, God, what's happening right now? And this person was mad about something. He probably watched videos on YouTube, how to kill people, get ready. And I don't know what he was thinking. I can tell you right now that for 45 minutes, I deal for my own life. He was not, he didn't leave after he cut me in my neck. I tried to push him away from my face, and my hands were all already damaged with the pocket knife that he had. My both hands were damaged with cuts. And he didn't fear anything. He didn't fear what happened or he didn't fear. He stood there in the corner watching that I will bleed and I will die. That was the plan of the enemy that morning. So my thing, Jacqueline, I wanted to share with you and with listeners is that time when we experience the most difficult time in our lives, when evil come against us, I remember praying. I said, Lord, because I already developed a relationship with the Lord more stronger than before when I will live as a regular believer. I remember I said, Lord, if you send somebody to rescue me, if you want me to live, because I remember the promise of the Lord that he told me that I will see the wonders of the Lord, the miracle power of the Lord in my life. So that was my expectation concerning my walking with the Lord. I wanted to see the promise of the Lord in my life, but now the enemy was interfering that promise in it. I was seeing my body suffering, bleeding right there, bleeding in the middle of the break room. I was trying to escape after like 30 minutes, trying to escape, and he grabbed me like a rock. He put me back to the place. It was in a strength, evil strength that he carried that morning. And I was saying, Lord, I ask you, if you want me to leave, send somebody to rescue me. That was my prayer. Jacqueline, today I wanted to tell you that prayer is a tool as a believer that we can hold on to the Lord and say, Lord, you hear me, you see me. Look at what's happening. Please send rescue in my life right now. So I was calling upon the name of the Lord. I was saying, Lord, please send somebody to that door so they can see me and they can call for rescue. And I remember he was standing there and he didn't move. I was just waiting for me to die. And I remember when I get up from the floor, when he broke all my ribs and stabbed me in my stomach and my leg. I get up from the scene. I was like unconscious, trying to get conscious. And he didn't mind anything. I was pushing his chair. He wanted to hit me with a chair. Just, he didn't have no fear of anything. No fear. He was there. He was there to just with the evil plan. The plan of the enemy is a bad plan. And but at the same time,
Wait a minute. You said someone came to the break room after you had prayed that prayer and looked in and the first person didn't see you, but another person came and they saw you, and speak about what happened then when that person saw you.
Yes, Jacqueline. So I remember I said, Lord, please, my prayer intensified. I said, Lord, please send somebody to rescue me. That was my prayer. I intensified the asking the Lord, please send somebody. Please send somebody to call for help. And she saw me. I remember her so well. And she ran to call 911. And the thing is that at that time, it was like around 45 minutes that I was on the floor. This person was not there anymore. He already left the room. And she found him in a store. I don't know how she found him. Say, please call 911. And he told her, I already called. And that was the lie. He didn't call. So she is the one that called 911. And I immediately remember so well that the paramedics came. That's why I love to pray, Jacqueline, because, you know, as a gratitude in my heart because of the rescue of these people from my friend that called that morning to the 911. The paramedics came, put me in the stretcher, asked me my name, asked me, how old are you? I don't remember anything else until I wake up in the hospital.
Okay, so you woke up in the hospital and they had called your family and they called your other relatives and he called people to be praying. Now, what type of effect did this have on your husband, if any at all, and your children?
Yes, you know, my manager asked me, Jacqueline, if my family wants to see the video. I said no. I don't want to see my family see the devastation that I experienced that morning. So I say, no, the video is there. The person is still in jail. And I pray that the Lord do justice in my case. That's my prayer. I say, Lord, this person did evil and justice is in your throne. I pray for justice. And, you know, my biggest fear after I was in the hospital is, and this person is coming to hear my family, my little ones, my grandkids. So that's why I in the hospital, I remember my family and the community of grace and the church, the Kroger people, the customers gathering in a parking lot and pray for me. Because my lab was in a point that if I lost all the blood, probably I will not be talking today. And I just thank the Lord for the community. People had compassion. He were willing to pray, to come together in a parking lot of Kroger and pray and asking the Lord for a miracle in my life. So that's why the community is so important, Jacqueline, because, you know, you hear people that they find it dead in the houses.
So, Maria, at that time, the people were praying. They said it was about 400 people that came together to pray for you in the Kroger parking lot. Because if you continued to lose blood, you wouldn't be here sharing this testimony today.
Yes, Jacqueline. I just thank the Lord for the community. You know, people are gracious and are kind and... Remember, my friend, she called the people and invite the people, the customers that they can walk in there and invite the church in the corner to come and pray, asking the Lord for my life. And just bring the power of prayer and the unity of community to pray for me. And I just thankful, Jacqueline, thankful for my community and friends and people that really knew that was evil and they pray for a miracle in my life. And I'm just so thankful, even right now, with gratitude in my heart, I pray for them. I thank the Lord that he sent the people to call upon the name of the Lord, for I will be sharing this testimony of the power of God this morning.
Amen. So you experienced trauma and lots of fear. So talk about the fear you experienced and how you overcame it.
Well, yes, Jacqueline, that's important aspect in my healing process because, you know, I was having my nail was restored like 3 times. My eyebrow was restored 2 times. My hands was in a lot of pain and in the process of therapy. That was very painful, the process of the rehabilitation. That was slow and painful and cold. Remember that winter it was cold. And my husband basically left work for to assist me because I needed assistance 24 hours. I mean, I couldn't take showers. I couldn't go to the bathroom or eat. Everything my husband did for me. And I just thank the Lord that he was able to love on me and pray for me and assist me in every way. And you know, the trauma that anybody can experience as a human beings, Lord, even when we are believers, I experienced the fear that came over me. Like I was fearful that somebody, this person is going to hurt me again or hurt my children or hurt my grandbabies. And I was afraid to the wind. I was afraid to knives, afraid to the sound. I was afraid to be alone. I was just calling and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. My prayers intensify daily. And the people praying for me, writing letters, coming with the flowers, coming with a presence just to acknowledge that they were backing me up and praying that I can get strong and well again. And that was a process of the miracle that I experienced through all those difficult times.
You said you prayed for your adversary and asked the Lord for his salvation and his family. You said, and I quote this from your testimony, when I forgave and blessed my adversary, I was able to get strength in my physical body and emotional stability. I'm able to rest at night and not be tormented by the memory of the assault. The Lord Jesus has healed my mind and restored my soul. Explain the process of getting to a place to forgive your adversary.
Yes, Jacqueline, look, I didn't have much contact with this person when I worked because we worked together. And he was just an individual that he didn't have interaction with people. He just did his job in talking, probably some evil spirits that he was carrying him. And he was just, the mother said that he didn't have medicine. That's why he did that evil thing. But the thing is that as the Lord Jesus Christ asked us to forgive, if we want a healing in our bodies and our emotions, we need to say yes. We cannot deal with unforgiveness because unforgiveness can hear your soul, hear your body. You will be able to, you will not be able to experience the grace of the Lord even if he give you life. Forgiveness is a part of the plan of God. He said, bless your enemies, bless them, pray for the ones that hurt you and persecute you. So that's why I did, Jacqueline. I willingly to obey the Lord, submit my emotions to the Lord. I say, yes, Lord, I forgive my enemy. I bless him. I ask you that you rescue his soul. He needs you because you died on the cross for him too. And that was the part of my healing. I mean, my healing started right there, right there. Because Jacqueline, the thing is, when I was hit in the front head, I was not able to get up from the bed. I was so dizzy. So weak. So I need assistance to get up from the bed because I was so dizzy. I said, Lord, I need you. I need you. So my husband was next to me, helped me to go to the bathroom, clean me up, give me the shower, pray for me. My kids came to me, and my friends came to me and helped me. And that was a long process, Jacqueline. That was hard. But at the same time, I feel the strength of the Lord. I feel the strength. I was saying, yes, I'm your healer. I love you. You're going to be an overcomer. You are not a victim. You are a victorious because we experienced what Jesus experienced in the cross. Even when he did good, you know how he died. He was dying for the forgiveness of our sins and the healing of our souls. And So that's the process that was long and just taking one day at a time, taking one day at a time. I just remember, especially my sister-in-law, I have a card for her with the scriptures every single week. She was pouring me the love of the Lord, the prayers from the congregation, and the instruction from the Lord through her to just not give up with praying. The Lord is your healer. The Lord is sustaining you. The Lord is with you. So those prayers, those cards, those flowers, those visits help me really to stand right now and testify that the Lord is able to help us in those difficult times.
Let me ask you this. Were you ever angry with God about this?
No, Jacqueline, no.
Because you never went through a period of anger against the Lord for this?
No, Jacqueline, you know, a couple of elderly couple believers came and they say, will you not like to just bend yourself against this evil thing? I say, well, I cannot do that because the Lord told us. It's a request from the Lord as a believer to forgive the ones to offend us. So I didn't have another way to respond except to submit to the calling of the Lord to forgive.
Okay, so wait a minute. I want to understand something. You say a couple of your friends came to you and say, wouldn't you like to avenge yourself?
Yeah. They were mad because they saw me so hurt and so bound up with those bandages in my hands, in my head and everything, my neck. And they say, we'll not like to grab him and just put him in place and do what? I say, I cannot do that because his life is not in my hands. His life is in God's hands. And I just pray for mercy of his soul. Because he needs to know the Lord, and Jesus himself died for him. He shed his blood and the forgiveness of his sins in the cross. So my healing came back when I recognized that the Lord called me to forgive, called me to pray for his salvation, bless his mother, bless his her sister, and everybody that is around him, because if he doesn't know the Lord, he doesn't know the Lord, he will just go in a path that is destruction. And we don't want it for him. We praying that he will come to the knowledge of him, and he will repent, and he will come to follow him. That's what's our prayer right now.
Have you seen him since this occurred?
No.
Okay.
No, Jacqueline, he's still he's still on jail, and this process of court case is postponing. So what else I can do except to call upon the name of the Lord daily?
Because not gone to court about it or anything?
No, because every time that they give us an appointment, they postpone it. He has a lawyer that they postpone in this situation. I say, Lord, you are mighty than anybody else. So we just rest in the assurance that he is having the situation in his hands. So,
okay.
Yes.
So, Maria, why do you believe this happened to you?
Oh, because, you know, everything has a purpose in life, Jacqueline. Even the evil things have a purpose in life. You know, I grew up knowing the Lord, but I think he has an assignment for me. And basically, right now, Jacqueline, I can tell you by the grace of the Lord, I'm fulfilling the plan for my life right now. Loving my own community, helping them, provide whatever the Lord provide for us concerning food, and share the most important thing that any individual can experience is the salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm sharing right now. You know, I was asking the Lord when I worked two jobs, I said, Lord, I'm tired. I wanted to serve you. And then I was saying, well, how can I do it? And, you know, the evil thing, I can tell you by my personal understanding that the Lord took me completely from that place to serve the living God. That's my testimony, Jacqueline. And because if the Lord maybe came and say, Maria, I don't want you to work anymore. I just wanted you to serve me. that's going to be different in your life. Probably I will never do it. But took the hard thing in my life to just recognize that I have a plan that I need to fulfill in my life, that the Lord already traced for me a destiny to walk in it and to bring many to the kingdom of light. That's what is my experience right now, Jacqueline. Yes, so I can...
Go ahead.
I cannot doubt that the Lord already took me out with the force to serve the living God, to just think life is more than work. Life is more than entertainment. Life is more than just earning a living. We have a destiny to fulfill in this earth that the Lord's calling to all of us. And we just need to be willing to say, yes, Lord, I wanted to honor you. Whatever the plan for my life is, I wanted to do it. I wanted to bring joy to your heart. I wanted to fulfill the purpose for me in my life, because that's why when I was preparing for this, Jacqueline, I was remember when I was 9 years old, I was playing with my cousins in Ecuador in a pile of sand. And when they went home, I was thinking my parents worked, and I was saying, Lord, what is the purpose for me in my life? Why am I here? I don't understand that my parents working full time and I don't have enough even books or toys to spend my time. That was a question in my heart, Lord. Jacqueline, by the grace of the Lord, I know as an adult, I know what is the purpose in my life. It's to bring the knowledge of you to many, because we are going to be in his presence one day. And we are going to say, Lord, I did this for you, because the calling for all the believers is to just look for assisting the hungry, the naked, the ones that are hurt, the ones that are in a prison. This is the calling from Jesus himself. He said, this is what I want you to do. So then we will have the reward in heaven and say, well done, my servant, and come to the place that I prepared before the foundation of the world. So I said, Lord, thank you, Lord. When the thing is, Jacqueline, when I encounter the Spanish community, it's an anointing in my life to just say, look, the Lord loves you. He has a plan for your life. Where are you going to spend eternity? This is my question. Are you ready to encounter the Lord? I tell him my testimony briefly. I say, are you ready? Are you ready that you go to be in heaven? Are you assured of your salvation? The Bible says that when we are saved, angels write our names in the book of life. So we need to have the assurance, Jacqueline, the assurance that our names are written in the book of life. And anything that happened to a believer, we know that the Lord, his angels, we will be in his presence for eternity. So it's eternity set up for every person here. So we need to choose what the Lord provides for us in the cross, to be with him for eternity. That's the plan of salvation for the humanity. So that's why we're standing here this morning testifying that the Lord is good, the Lord loves us, and the Lord have a destiny for all of us to walk in it. And I just thank the Lord that I find my destiny, Jacqueline. And that's my joy. I say, Lord, thank you. I can love on people. I can pray for people. I can share what I have with people. That's what it is for me, Jacqueline. Many other people will have another assignments that the Lord provide for them. But this is my assignment, to just love and people, care for them, pray for them, tell them that he loved them, and we are together putting our faith and our time to just bring healing, bring restoration in their souls and their lives. So that's a good living that I'm living, Jacqueline. That's good.
Amen.
So that's good.
So now I want to ask you, because you do something now to show your gratitude for all those that help you. Share with my listeners what you do.
Yes, Jacqueline. As the morning that I experienced the attack, I was so vivid, and I just called upon the name of the Lord. The fire department came to rescue me. The police officers closed the campus around the Kroger. And I was just in prayer for my own life. And my gratitude unto the Lord is to pray for the police department, the fire department, the medical team every single day, Jacqueline. That's my gratitude. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you provide those doctors, those nurses that help me in the hospital in my difficult time. That's the grace of the Lord, Jacqueline. That's the grace of the Lord, because if I was hurt, if I didn't have access to a hospital, I would probably not be able to share this testimony right now. But with gratitude, I humble before the Lord. I say, Lord, I thank you for every officer in the street that they looking for the safety of the community, of the neighborhoods, that the system, the 911 people that are standing, answer their phones when somebody is in need and answer and sending somebody for rescuing. So that's the blessing of the Lord, Jacqueline. Yeah, the fire department that ran to my rescue because they are 24 hours standing by to help the people. It's a blessing, darling.
I want to make sure that I say this. I want the users to know that this incident occurred beginning at 5 o'clock a.m. in the morning.
Yes, Jacqueline. Yeah. This person knew that nobody, basically, just a few workers are in the back of the store working. So he already planned this thing. It was already planned. He was not scheduled to work that morning, but his evil plan pursued that morning. And I just thank the Lord for his rescue and his grace in my life, because even the hand surgeon, he said, Maria, if he dig a little bit down in your neck, your blood will be jumping to the ceiling and you will not be alive.
Oh, wow.
So, Jacqueline, God is merciful and God is gracious and God is with us, is for us. Evil is evil, but God is gracious. God loves us and God restores us, Jacqueline. That's the beautiful about God, that we can lean on him. We can come to from any situation that we have, we can come to him. And he will help us. He will restore us. He will encourage us. He will tell us that is the way out. So, Jacqueline, to be a believer right now in this time is a blessing.
Amen.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing because, you know, and other people will not know. If they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they will maybe thinking to take care of their lives will be a solution for eternity. But it's not a solution. Jesus is the solution. He is the door. He is the way that we wanted everybody to know that this way is the door to go to his presence and to spend eternity with him.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, Jacqueline.
Maria, this has been such a beautiful testimony, and I thank you for sharing your story. Will you leave my listeners with some encouraging, inspiring words?
Yes. Yes, so Jacqueline, yes, you know, the Lord loves us. And even in difficult situations like that happened to me, the Lord restored us. The Lord put back the joy that I lost that morning. And, you know, everything was down. Everything was is like I'm losing everything. But the Lord restored and we are able to forgive. Forgiveness is the main thing that to experience healing in my body, be able to walk without dizziness and with with a pain in my heart. My physical body was just in agony for to just trying to live, trying to heal. So forgiveness is the main thing. My healing start with forgiveness. So I am able to walk, enjoy my garden, enjoy the fellowship with my family, because I obey what the Lord asked me to do. So it's not bitterness in my heart against this person. Every time that I remember the sin, I just put him at the feet of the cross and I ask for mercy over his life, because I don't know the outcome. I don't know what will happen to him. So I just ask the Lord that as he got mercy over my life, he will have mercy over my offenders. So that's the testimony, Jacqueline, and we can do it with God's help.
Amen. So, Maria, if there is someone else that wants you to share your testimony, maybe come to their church and share it, or be on their podcast or social media, where can they get in touch with you?
Yes, you can email me. My email address is mariamosher18@gmail.com.
Okay, good. So they can tell you they heard you on Informative Conversations with Jacqueline. So if someone wants to get in touch with you, they can reach you at mariamosher18@gmail.com. That's yes. M-A-R, that's M-A-R-I-A-M-O-S-H-E-R 18@gmail.com.
Yes, Jacqueline. Yes.
Okay. Well, Maria, I want to thank you again for being my guest. It's been such a blessing to talk with you.